Kenya Barris finally told us all what we wanted to hear. It's no fun being in the hospital, especially when your wife doesn't visit you. Cardi B and Nicki, can we all just get along? Nike says just do it, and apparently people are heeding the call. All eyes are on the person sitting next to Drake. Chadwick Boseman has us all smiling, and we have our photo of the week and more, so stay tuned.
Welcome to What's the 411, your smart source for urban, lifestyle, and entertainment news. I'm Kizzy Cox.
And I am Onika McLean. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey,
we're back.
Hey.
We're back. We missed you. And we're back.
And she got a lot of energy.
Yes, I do.
That's good. How has your week been?
It's been busy. I am doing comedy all over the city, and I have a show. Oh, we're gonna film this after the show.
But there'll be other ones.
Yeah,
October.
So yeah, you guys need to follow me on Instagram, Diva of Comedy. You need to follow Kizzy as well, so you can see our shows and stuff.
Because
Kizzy, the real Kizzy Cox, is award winning. So I mean, you guys are getting some stellar stuff. You get us while the price is moving down, because it's gonna be a time. When you're not going to be, can I get a ticket?
No, absolutely not, sir.
I'm sorry. Sorry, that's not how that's going to work.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know who has gotten too expensive?
Who?
Kenya Barris. Now, we reported on this a few weeks ago that Kenya Barris was leaving ABC, and he has signed a very lucrative deal with Netflix.
So Netflix is a step up from ABC at this point? What's happening here?
Absolutely.
Oh, ABC, you getting some shade.
Absolutely.
That's a staple.
And now we know why he left ABC. Remember we were talking about how, you know, he had this whole...
The 10 deal?
He was going to talk about that shelved episode of Black-ish where he was talking about the kneeling and the NFL.
Oh,
and
when you were talking about Roseanne and how you were like, how would they allow Roseanne to say all those things when she had her special without, then they shelved Black-ish. I remember. You guys remember too.
Exactly. And so that was his whole thing. It's like ABC executives wanted to court kind of that red state audience, and they did it at the expense of the Black-ish episode. And at that point, Kenya was thinking, you know what? You said I can do what I want here. And if I'm not able to present this, then, you know, what value am I really bringing to this? And so that's when he, you know, really made the decision that he had to move on. And now he's at Netflix doing his thing.
These Black people done got some rights. Some rights. They done gave them rights. Now they making decisions. You go ahead. Go back. Go, Black people. Go.
Yeah.
Okay, so good. Also, wait a minute. So I'm going to throw shade a little bit. Because Tamar is, right? So Vince Herbert, right? It's Herbert or Hubert? It's Herbert,
Herbert
right?
Herbert,
Vince
yeah.
Herbert, who is, you know, Tamar and Vince, that's the other half, but he was like a bigger piece. But anyway, that's hilarious to me. So, okay, so she is in the hospital suffering from gout. Me men always get gout. It's true, like there was a gout. So he's suffering from gout. And
Wasn't he in the NFL?
Who?
Vince
was in the NFL?
He is the
producer of Lady Gaga and all that stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
No.
Oh, see,
so
I don't know
you
this.
Just think he's a big guy? He was a football player?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
The Green Mountain. Okay, anyway, she said the Green Mountain. I did not say the Green Mountain. But anyway, poor Vince is in the hospital, and Tamar, who is bald, what's going on with Tamar?
She shaved her head.
She shaved her head because she got rid of Vince? I thought she had cancer. I was like, did you? Okay, so
no.
Anyway, so back to Vince and the gout, guys. Back to Vince and the gout. So
you
Vince,
even got our executive producer shaking her head. You need to stop this.
I'm sorry. So back to Vince and the gout, guys. This is what's happening. So he's in a hospital. Now, Tamar, they have a baby together, and they're still married. But Tamar refuses to go to the hospital. She's like, bye, see you later, boy. You have stressed me out long enough. You better get somebody to help you out. So she is not going to the hospital. And I'm just saying... Oh, well, what do you think?
That's it. They're in the process of getting a divorce, so she doesn't have to visit him anywhere if she doesn't want
to. He should. You know what, Vince? Shouldn't have never let her get that record deal. Because remember when it was like the Braxtons? She wanted to get on so bad. He was like, no.
But she found
her voice. She good for her, but not so good for
him.
And
now he's in there gout all by himself. Oh, well. So remember that fight with Nicki Minaj and Cardi B at New York Fashion Week? Remember
okay,
that?
This was the fight. Let's go. Let's do it. This is the fight. Do this.
This wasn't even that. It was this.
This is the
and
fight.
And threw a shoe.
Cardi threw a shoe. They did not have a fight. They had an argument, a little altercation.
They, Yeah, well, Cardi didn't even touch Nicki. And then Cardi left with a big knot on her head,
right? I cannot stand that female rappers always go through this. Little yeah. Kim, Foxy Brown. Like, yeah. just, like, oh, Nicki Minaj and anybody with a vagina. Like, like,
oh, my God. Wow.
She called me my wow. edges, but they calling back because I got Miracle Drops, hashtag.
Listen, no edges about to be snatched again.
The real BB Judy. No. My edges is here, honey.
Listen. So, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj had this fight, right? Like you said. And everybody is doing just fine, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to have gotten a career boost from the fight. So Cardi is coming out with new music, and she's also performing. She's still performing at the Global Citizen Festival that's happening in New York. So she's doing well. Meanwhile, Nicki, you know, she came out with her new podcast, Queen Radio. So it's been out for a few weeks. She saw such a huge boost the week after that fight. Like, Queen Radio was actually trending on Twitter.
It was that big. They probably were texting each other like, I'ma throw a shoe to the right, move to the left.
Listen, they are doing so well. Nicki Minaj, her video came out, and it was like 5 million views within a day of being, like, put out there. Her friend Rihanna, Nicki Minaj's friend Rihanna, like, uninvited Cardi B to the Diamond Ball, though. So that's the one thing. People are taking their little sides. But, you know, if you were riding for Cardi, you're still riding for Cardi. If you was riding for Nicki, you're still riding for Nicki. So this right. was just jokes, basically.
Right. Yeah. So this is the thing, right? Yeah. Which is not a joke, right? Mm-hmm. Nike stock. Mm. It shot through the roof. So Nike, right? So Nike, right? So Nike, yeah. they decided for their 30 year of that Just Do It campaign, they invited Colin Kaepernick, right?
Yeah.
And, yes. you know, that. All of white America was like, oh, I'm going to burn my Nikes.
Right.
And I was like, why are you burning your Nikes? That doesn't make sense. Like, he just kneeled. Like, well, okay. So anyway, can't burn the flag, got to burn Nikes. Okay, whatever. So anyway, but it didn't matter because now Nike is having, like, record numbers in their stock.
Of course they are. And they are.
Did you see, Jennifer Lawrence, did you see her at the Grammys?
Yeah.
She had
the Emmys. At the Emmys, yeah, yeah.
At the Emmys. I'm sorry. I was like, what?
I love it. I love it. She had, like, a little blinged out swoosh.
Yes.
And her little bracelet to match. I was like, you go, Jennifer.
Yes, go ahead, Nike. Go ahead, Colin Kaepernick. Like, he's not gonna be poor, absolutely not. But you know what? Our executive producer said this a cup, and I'm not kissing up, but she said this like a year ago. I'm really not. Oh, you're doing me. Oh, that's good, Patty. Don't feel good in your belly? Okay, so anyway, so she said, this is what she said. She was like, you know, corporate America needs to start taking sides. And I was like, corporate America's never gonna take sides. And she was like, if they do, mm-hmm. it's all yeah. about the dollar. And, right. and if sides go with the dollar, and you see that if you do the right thing, you'll make more money, then more companies will take right. a stance.
Right, they are. And it's absolutely.
Go ahead, Nike. Right. Go ahead, Nike.
Right. Mm. You know, all the corporations are taking mm-hmm. sides right now. What do you have? Chick-fil-A, who's like, you know, all the anti-gay stuff that they're pushing.
But wait a minute. Chick-fil-A's opening on Sundays. I said, poor Jesus. They are? Yeah, they got to start opening.
Oh,
gosh. I don't even know what's happening. But
sometimes you just need your chicken.
But sometimes you need your chicken. Speaking of chicken, right? Drake. Right? So Drake is dating some 18-year-old girl, right? He done took this 18-year-old girl. Her name is Bella Harris. She's a model. He took her to dinner in D.C. What's the restaurant? He closed down the restaurant.
RPM
Italian. In D.C. At 18. How old is Drake? 62?
She's like 30. He's maybe like 34.
So that's okay? Like that. 18 and 34?
Who was dating an 18-year-old?
R. Kelly?
Oh, stop. Oh,
I'm just sorry.
No.
I'm just sorry.
No, you're not. Well, all right. Well, I don't. Listen. How about Quincy Jones talking about he's 80-something years old and he's not going to date nobody old? He's dating everybody's 20-something and 30-something. Now, that age gap is just absurd.
Quincy Jones probably have dementia now. It's nonsense. Don't listen to him. You know, like, don't come for the elderly's edges. Like, the elderly's edges, like, you're going to go from Drake to Quincy Jones? That's 50 years.
But he's dating women 50 years younger than him. So,
I'll date younger men.
How young?
Like, in their 30s. That's younger?
Okay, that's not.
That's not younger?
That's not that much younger. That's fine. That's not really anything. Yeah. What, I'm talking cougar, like meow. I'm talking
like,
I know, like,
I'm a meow. Thundercat. Like, I would do 26, but they be wanting Jordans. And I'm not buying no Jordans for nobody. My kids is pimping me enough, and I ain't no guy gonna be asking me for my money.
You not trying to be no sugar mama?
No, because that's like a Thundercat. Like, they're like, hi, I need help with my tuition. I'm like, I'm already paying tuition, sir.
Oh, Lord.
You know, no. I'm just joking. These are jokes.
No.
What you got? What else you got?
Yeah, listen. So, we all love Chadwick Boseman, who is not 30. He's 30-something. He's right there, girl.
But he lost that fight. Like, I like Killmonger. Like, I'm from the hood. I'm like somebody that's going to be like, first of all, burn it. Burn the whole damn thing. You be like, that's right. Burn this shit. We don't need it.
He bringing that Ray-Ray energy for you. Ray-Ray.
See, and you keep saying that. Ray-Ray. So when people watch this, they're like, who's Ray-Ray? Stop. Didn't I make it up? I just made up Ray-Ray. Okay.
We understand it's a fictional character. However, he has become a part.
But
show.
I'm just saying, T'Challa lost that fight. Twice.
I love Chadwick Boseman, who played Black Panther. I love him, and he's given us more reason to love him.
What did he do?
He visited St. Jude's Hospital, you know, that hospital that cares for kids with cancer. Mm-hmm. And he posted on Instagram this: had a birthday celebration with a beautiful little princess, Maddie. She let me throw the confetti twice. I think I had as much fun as she did. # St. Jude. So,
oh, that's nice.
Big heart, big muscles, the whole thing.
Go ahead.
I love it.
Because you know why it's dying. Like, nobody's, like, doing it. Like, come on, Black people. We got to keep it up. We forget too soon. Reparations. No. Reparations.
What you don't need to forget, we're going to take a quick break. And you need to go and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what you need to do.
And Flash Briefing. They need to watch us on Alexa. Yes. If you have Alexa Flash Briefing, What's the 411 is on there.
Right. If you're listening to the podcast, Alexa Flash Briefing, tell a friend. And both of y'all, please subscribe. We'll be right back with our interview of the week. For our guest today, I almost feel like putting on my Quiet Storm voice. Because he is a very cool jazz musician. His name is Nabate Isles. He is a Grammy award-winning trumpeter and composer, and he's here to talk about his brand new album, Eclectic Excursions. Welcome, oh. Nabate.
Welcome, Nabate. Thank you. Welcome
thank
to
you so much, ladies.
Kissy
and Monika. Pleasure
it's
to be
a pleasure
here.
To have
Absolutely.
You here.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, you are not new to the game. You have been in this for a while. Why did you think now was the right time to come out with your debut album?
Well, I think the time is right. I think being inspired to release the music that I release all together, mm-hmm. because I've written so many different compositions. I've done film compositions. I've done, you know, large ensemble compositions. I've done other small group denominations and instrumentations and groups, mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I felt it was important. Now is the time because there's so much more material that I had that really was in sync and mm-hmm. linked
like
together.
The synergy.
Yes.
It just meshed
exactly.
perfectly.
Exactly. And
you're
it was
like,
natural.
Oh,
it
right.
was natural.
Nice.
It was very natural. So,
right.
and plus, I felt that, you know, being a professional musician in this business for over 20 years, it was time. And I was always feel guilty throughout my 20s and 30s that mm-hmm. I didn't have a record, but I think by the way this came out mm-hmm. and the way everyone talked about, all the musicians talked about the maturity, the organization of the process, how everything was put together, I think, and also knowing I'm better too with more marketing myself and more being aware of trends and things like that, just right. not just the creative aspect, but the whole organic exposure of the record, and
right.
and it was important. Now is the time to do it.
How did you fall in love with music?
Like, oh wow! Well, music is funny. It was in my household. My dad hosted a radio show. Richard Isles. He hosted a radio show on WBAI. Like during my years of growing up, you know, mm-hmm. through elementary school and through middle school and high school.
So it's just in
right.
your veins.
So yeah, it was in my exactly. You know, my warm veins, yes indeed. But yeah, it was great too with my parents exposing me. My mother was a lot into the Motown sound and mm-hmm. a lot into Quincy Jones, who I really was my first influence with Back on the Block. that album in the late 80s.
Right,
and that's what inspired me to do Eclectic Excursions, because Quincy Jones, those records, to do Body Heat, have all that on vinyl. Mm-hmm. And I noticed at a young age, when I was 11, 12 years old, I noticed, wow, so many different styles of music. And then it comes full circle. Maybe that was in my subconscious to create an album, create a project that reflected that. Years later.
Right. And I mean, you also didn't just bring in, different styles of music. You brought in a bunch of musicians, different musicians, like at least 20 artists. Mm-hmm. How did you bring all those people together on the same album?
Oh, wow. Well, I planned ahead, definitely. I planned ahead because I knew musician schedules. And then one thing I've always been concerned about in booking gigs with musicians and things like that, always been concerned about, okay, is this cat going to be in town? Is this cat going to be in town? Right. And cat is like, term.
Jastier,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Term of dirty, you know? So, I would always think to myself, will he be in town? Will she be in town? Et cetera, et cetera. So I started planning in May of last year for the album, and started to so 14 months later now.
Wow.
So you have a
whole other album in you. I can feel it, it's like you're trying to get them out, right?
Actually, it's funny you say that. Yeah, I'm gonna start recording next spring, actually. I have so many concepts and ideas that I want to do. So I planned in May and put a budget together, everything. And I called people that I've worked with for 10, 15, 20 years, good friends of mine that I've worked with, that been in my ensembles or I've been in their ensembles, or we played in ensembles together, led by other people. So I called them, and they were totally on board instantly, and pretty much everyone I wanted was available for the record.
That's
basically.
So it was like synergy.
Yeah.
It was
just like the universe just lined up.
Right.
What's your favorite track? Like, what's the one that hits home for you?
Find Your Light.
Definitely. I love that song that we were talking about. We're like, that's a beautiful song.
Who's that songstress? I was like, she sounds amazing.
Alita Moses. Yeah. Alita Moses. Yes, indeed.
Oh my God.
She's a beautiful
voice. I have not heard a voice like hers before.
And she's only 24 years old.
Really?
Yeah. She's prodigal. Definitely. She's a prodigal daughter. Like, the prodigal son, prodigal daughter. You know? Definitely. But she's great. And I wrote the lyrics and the music for
that was going to be my next question.
So inspirational.
Oh, thank you.
You guys have to really, really download this. Please download this. It's amazing. It's just amazing music.
Such a blessing. Such a blessing to create. So, and it was the first time I wrote lyrics publicly.
Really?
That was a thing for
really?
And it just came to me.
What do you mean publicly? You used to write like poems to women.
And it was funny too. I would if I make a track, I would put verses together, for the track to rap, kind of like so, to give an idea to an artist that I wanted to be on what the vibe was about,
Nice.
So, and also I felt. Whoo, lyrics, you have so many different great librettists and lyricists throughout time, you have all, you have, Albert Berg and opera and Richard Strauss and of course Mozart, all those great librettists. And then you have, of course, Cole Porter and Stevie Wonder, and great artists like that, Jerome Kern, Oscar Hammerstein, it just goes on and on. Of course, Leonard Bernstein, so it just goes on. And I just felt, wow, there's too many great lyricists and everything.
Oh,
and I'm like,
so you're trying to like compare yourself?
Because they raised the bar. And then,
of course,
like Langston Hughes
and
Jorge Luis Borges.
And if it's
a major
all in your body, if you put that inside your spirit, then you want to rise to that kind of occasion.
Right.
And I think you did. I think you hit the mark.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
You worked with a lot of other people too. Mm-hmm. I mean, talked about Alita, but you've also worked with Kenny Lattimore. You've worked with Mos Def, aka Yasiin Bey.
Mm-hmm,
you've worked with a lot of people. How do you choose the type of artist that you want to collaborate with or you know, work with in general?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Mostly they choose me, you know, usually like they'll choose me or someone or a musical director, you know, musical director will choose me for the band to be a part of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just all about keeping my name out there. And then like it's funny with most. I met him. Oh, okay. Funny story.
Mm-hmm.
I first met him ever on the street. Like I was going to SIR Studios right in Chelsea doing a rehearsal. Okay.
This sounds like Brown Sugar.
It was actually at that time because literally, because remember Brown Sugar came out in 01. This is May 99. This is right after I graduated from college. And Mose was on the street with Busta Rhymes. So he was such a great guy. Busta was cool too, but Mose really was really engaged, you know. Then I saw him 6 months later. Literally, I was walking in the train up in Harlem, and they were filming Bamboozled at the time. And right there, right on my block, I walk up, I see Mose again, and he remembered me from that meeting, that talk six months ago, because I met you at SIR, and he was with Busta when I said Busta, and he remembered instantly. And then I had in my CD player, I kid you not, Black on Both Sides, CD that came out right at that time in October, November of 99. Mm-hmm. I had that in my CD player, and I showed him. He was like,
this man back in the day.
Like, so, right, it's putting it together. Yeah,
exactly. Nice.
And then we talked about, because we were talking about the Tyson fight as well, because he was talking about boxing with people. So, and I was like schooling them kind of on boxing a little bit, saying like,
you know sports really well.
Yeah, exactly. So I was saying, no, the Tyson fight was good. It was the Diego Corrales fight before that. And they were like, oh, that's true. So yeah, like, so I was like, but then most, then I would see him around throughout the years and stuff, different circles. And then I joined his band with Will Calhoun, the drummer for Living Color, a great jazz drummer as well.
Okay.
But overall, you know, overall savant on the drums, had me on in Mose's group, and that's when I worked with him for a couple of years. So it's
just like you said, eclectic. You know, some hip hop, you got some R&B, you got everything like kind of mixed up in there.
Yes, yes.
So you also, like, speaking of eclectic, had some very varied experiences. Mm-hmm. So I heard that you actually played in a band that played at President Barack Obama White House.
Yes.
What was that experience
there?
Like?
That was surreal. In the trumpet section.
Yeah. He was there.
In the trumpet section, yes. And that was the last concert of his administration, because it was a tribute to Ray Charles.
Also
prayers to Demi Lovato. You know, and it seems like she's
okay, pulled through,
you know, but she was part of that. And she was so generally nice, like, to all of us and everything. That's why it kind of hit me when I heard that news earlier.
If you haven't heard, right, Demi Lovato had an overdose. So prayers go out to her.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Demi was part of that with Sam Moore and Usher and Leon Bridges Brittany Howard and God, so many other. Jesse Smollett.
Oh, wow.
Hamilton and Yolanda Adams. Just a list of great people. Yeah.
So was that your first time meeting a lot of those artists for the first time?
Yeah, Anthony Hamilton. It was not my first time, because we knew each other through a mutual friend years ago. You know, before he really hit. So. So that was, I remember, like, it was first when he moved to New York, and then he moved back out to L.A. before he moved back out to L.A. So, no one else I knew. Usher I met once before, but, you know.
Okay.
And it was so funny. Usher, I ran into him at a gig I did with Robert Glasper and Jill Scott. It was an Afropunk gig.
Mm-hmm.
Literally
Afropunk.
A year later from that. Concert at the White House, and he was, and I showed him, it was funny, it was a Facebook memory that came up, and Usher was like, wow, that's right. You know, so that was just really, really just weird how the universe and time,
this music is
taking you everywhere.
Yes, it has.
Did you travel around the world?
Oh yes, I have. I've been able to go to Asia, Europe, like 17 countries in Europe, 4 countries in Asia, all over the States. You know, I've probably been to 37 states, around 37, 38 states.
Ooh.
So,
wow.
So, and it's been great.
How do you do that and keep your day gig at Sirius XM.
Right? Yeah, Sirius XM NBA Radio. I do that just by, you know, I might use my vacation days to.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
So you gotta do what you gotta do.
I use my vacation days to travel, yeah, and everything. And they're very understanding. They knew. Before I was hired, they knew that I had a career in music, but they know that I come in and do my work and do it at a high level and come in with a lot of enthusiasm. Right. So yeah, right.
Definitely. Okay. Do you ever have feel yourself having to choose which one you love more, the executive producing or the music or?
I would say, I love both. It's equal, you know, mm-hmm. I love both equal, but I think music really helps me get out of my real world or my reality. It gets me into another zone from the standpoint of a very subconscious. I reach my subconscious more with creation, with composition, and improvisation.
Because you let the spirits lead you, the ancestors.
Right. Yeah. But with sports is great too from the standpoint of just as fascinating the stories of these athletes and the discipline it takes and to be a professional athlete and also. It's just year-round, too. It never stops. It's all, right. And it's mostly positive news, too. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. It's mostly positive news. Instead, I don't watch much news, news that's emphasized, the regular world news. It's mostly negative or local news, mostly negative.
Yeah, so, it can get very negative.
You got to watch your spirit, especially as a creative.
Yeah,
because you're taking a lot
You want to keep putting out what's most positive.
Right, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I totally get that.
Right. Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know, jazz is amazing improvisational, created by African Americans, really rich in history, but it's not as popular as it was maybe even a generation ago. Mm-hmm. How do you engage people who are younger to get into jazz? Is that even something that you're thinking about or working on?
Wow, by Eclectic Excursions, having music that talks about pretty much what it is that jazz and blues is the root, and the branches are hip-hop, R&B, the soul,
exactly.
The funk.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the branches,
exactly.
That's all the branches. So so what I'm doing with this record was to really be able to still have that improvisational base and the roots of jazz, from the standpoint of rhythm, of very involved melody and harmony, and then being able to still have that feel and groove of the modern day music and what's happening now. So
where do we find it? Where do we find your music?
Oh yes, well, Eclectic Excursions. You can get it on iTunes, on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Spotify, Tidal. It's everywhere. It's all over us. All digital platforms.
How do we find you in social media land? What's your handles? We need to know where to go.
Yes, indeed. Well, my Instagram is nsi.universal. So N is in Nabate, S is this is Sekou, I's and Isles dot universal.
NSI dot
universal.
Universal. Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Then my Twitter is at Nabate Isles SMTA.
SMTA. You have to say that louder, guys.
So yeah, at Nabate Isles SMTA for
we'll
so much
to
talk
below.
About.
Yeah. We'll put it down below. Also, guys.
And then my Facebook is Nabate Isles Trumpet. That's my Facebook fan page. And
nice.
As well as also, I will be having a website that launches next month, which is NabateIsles.com.
All right. I'm Kizzy Cox, and on behalf of my co-host, Onika McLean, thank you for spending time with What's the 411. We will see you next time. 411, who's got the 411? 411, they got the 411. Who's got the 411? We got the 411.